week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in Los Angeles, California, where 20,000 mourners packed the Staples Center Arena for a public memorial honoring former NBA star Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. VOA's Mike O'Sullivan reports from Los Angeles.
Kobe Bryant joined the Los Angeles Lakers straight out of high school in 1996 and played with the team for 20 years, most of that time here at Staples Center. The sports icon and his 13-year-old daughter died with seven others when their helicopter crashed January 26th near Los Angeles. There were tributes from Bryant's widow, Vanessa Bryant, grieving for her husband and daughter.
God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together. Babe, you take care of our Gigi. And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team. We love and miss you, Boo Boo and Gigi.
And from a tearful Michael Jordan, who remembered his younger rival as a brother.
What Kobe Bryant was to me was the inspiration that someone truly cared about the way I played the game or the way that he wanted to play the game. He wanted to be the best basketball player that he could be. And as I got to know him, I wanted to be the best big brother that I could be.
Called a celebration of life, there was laughter mixed with tears and musical tributes from Christina Aguilera, Beyoncé, and Alicia Keys. For many fans, Bryant was part of the family.
You know, growing up, that's all we watched in the 1990s up to the 2000s, my parents, my brother, everyone. So this today is very important for us as a family. My brother's here, my dad is here, I'm here.
I didn't know him personally, but he's been part of my life longer than some of my actual friends. Like, and you could trace back like certain moments of him and where you were at and what you were going through at the same time.
Kobe Bryant growing up, he was my idol, so I played basketball myself and, you know, just pay my respects here today.
I watched him grow. I watched Kobe come into the league. I was there in D.C. for his last game when he retired. And it just means a lot to me right now.
A sports legend and his daughter who live on in the hearts of his fans. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mike. At the Staples Center Monday night, the Los Angeles Clippers snapped a three-game losing streak by routing the Memphis Grizzlies. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles.
The Clippers got back in the win column with a 124-97 thumping over the Grizzlies. LA had lost its last three coming in, but coach Doc Rivers wasn't concerned.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I didn't even know we lost three in a row. And I'm literally not kidding. I don't worry about it. Look at how we're playing and, you know, it was four all-star break and, you know, I'll let you guys worry about all that stuff.
LA dominated this one from the get-go, taking a 40-14 lead after just one quarter. Kawhi Leonard scored 14 points in that decisive period and finished with a game-high 25. Ja Morant had 16 points to lead Memphis. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Now let's go to Houston, Texas, where the NBA's leading scorer, James Harden, had another big night for the Houston Rockets. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston.
After attending the memorial service for Kobe and Gianna Bryant earlier in the day, James Harden scored 37 points as the Houston Rockets won their fourth straight game, beating the New York Knicks 123-112. Harden arrived a little more than an hour before tip-off and scored 31 points in the first half on 12 of 16 shooting. Harden explained why he felt the need to attend Bryant's service.
Just pay my respects, pay my, show my condolences to the family. Obviously, it's a tough time for them, for the entire world, so it was a must that I beat her.
Ben McLemore scored 17 points off the bench for the Rockets, while Eric Gordon added 16. R.J. Barrett led the Knicks with 21 points and 6 rebounds. Julius Randle chipped in 17 points and 12 boards. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Tyson Fury. Brilliant, dominating performance to dethrone Deontay Wilder and win the WBC heavyweight crown. Your thoughts on the Gypsy King's performance?
Well, before this fight, we called him Tyson Fluffy Fury with pillow punch. We can now call him a monster that has the power punch. He kind of surprised everybody. And Sonny, believe it, everybody in the boxing world, all the boxing experts, nobody saw this coming, including us. Did we see this coming, Sonny?
I'll eat some crow right now on air, Nnamdi, because I had Wilder winning by knockout. I thought Deontay would knock out Fury early in that fight.
Well, you're not the only one. Count me in there, too, because I just did not expect him. I mean, this is a man that's not known for his punching power.
Don't forget, when I came here, they said I can't punch. Deontay Wilder said himself that I've got two pillow fists. But, you know, not bad for an old fat guy who can't punch, eh? Doing all right, isn't it?
And he goes and he changes the game and he decides to stand and fight. This is definitely a candidate for fight of the year and as upset of the year for 2020.
Nnamdi, let's listen in now to Fury's comments about his new trainer, Sugar Hill. I know you were kind of critical about that move before the fight, but let's listen in now to what Fury had to say after the fight.
And everybody was like, this is a bad move, a really bad move. But, you know, it worked out for the best. And I believed in Sugar Hill. I believed in the style that he teaches. And I knew that we'd get it right on the night. And we did everything that I did in the ring tonight. We practiced in the gym, setting up off the jab. I landed the detonation right hand on. I've only just started me in Sugar Hill with this style. We've had 7 weeks to perfect a style that takes years at the Kronk gym in and out. But I'm a quick learner and I aim to get back to work straight away, work on my balance, work on my straight punches, and we're going to be putting people to sleep left, right and centre.
That Kronk style, Nnamdi, it sounds like Fury wants to get even better at it in the future. How much credit do you give Sugar Hill, Fury's new trainer, Javon Sugar Hill Stewart?
I have to give Sugar Hill a whole lot of credit because I did not think much of him. I'm not going to lie to you about it. He had a perfect game plan, allowed Fury to come in at 273 pounds on a Friday afternoon, which means by Saturday night, Fury will have been in that ring close to 300 pounds. And would allow a man who's 300 pounds to lay on you for 2-3 rounds, Sonny, your legs will go. So he had a perfect game plan, backing up Deontay Wilder from the beginning of the fight. And also remember, we'll get to take a very close look to the in the fight. They're what we call rabbit shots, whereby you got hit at the back of your head. Just like what happened to Anthony Joshua when he fought Andy Ruiz. When you get hit at that point, your legs are gone. You can't operate. It's like an expensive car with no tires, Sonny.
Nnamdi, you like to use that phrase, jello legs, and Wilder had jello legs pretty early in the fight.
Sonny, you can add spaghetti legs to it, too. with spaghetti legs, there's just no way you would be able to stand and plant that leg and deliver the shot that you used in destroying folks for the past 12 years. The power failed him. He had no jab. He was just backing up. And with Deontay backing up, he just couldn't execute. So what we saw Saturday night at the casino in Vegas was just like Ali and Foreman in the Zaire, which is Congo today, whereby the boxer backed up the puncher. Mind you, Deontay was the baddest man on the planet, feared puncher. When you can make a feared puncher look really silly and having him on the floor how many times? Up to 4 times, but only 2 counted. It was a scene that we never believe we would ever see.
What about Fury's jab, Nnamdi? Did that impress you?
I was impressed with the jab. Not only the jab, the way he was able to just through the combination, go back to even the fifth round when he used the body shot to drop Deontay Wilder. He set it up with the left jab. And he came into that fight with a full tool of equipment to do his business. And not only the jab, he was able to cut off the ring and stay right on Deontay Wilder. He was aggressive from the beginning of the fight, which we have never seen before. I mean, this is a guy that will clown and dance and hold and clinch and all that. He was just out to take the title.
At some points in the fight, you could see Wilder even holding his arm on the ropes, Namdi. He looked exhausted. And yet there was controversy about his corner throwing in the towel at the end. A good move by Wilder's team?
Well, Sonny, you have to understand the man that threw in the towel, Mark Brilliant, former world champion and Olympian, he knows what he did. He saved Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder was ready to go all the way. Personally, Sonny, the fight should have been stopped after the fifth round. Round six and seven were just damaged, you know. We don't know how he'll react coming back. And everybody said, oh, he should have gone out on his shield. He should have fought. He should have kept. They shouldn't have stopped the fight. Well, yeah, you are a fan. You know, you go out there and train and allow a 300-pound guy lay on you for two rounds, your legs will go. It's easy as we, the fight fans, say, oh, he didn't do this. He should have stayed there. No. He fought back. But what he had in front of him for the first time in his career was a man bigger, stronger than him. Mind you, he's used to fighting all the small heavyweights, and he's always been the taller guy, the bigger guy. But this time around, Deontay found the Goliath in front of him, which he didn't count on Fury coming at him. He didn't count on Fury having a bigger punch. That's why they called him Fluffy Fury before the fight, Pillow Punch.
Well, Namdi, lots of thought now about Fury possibly fighting Anthony Joshua in a heavyweight unification fight. Deontay Wilder has 30 days to activate the rematch clause, and Fury said immediately afterwards that he thinks Wilder will take the rematch.
I'm almost sure that he'll take a rematch because he's a dynamite puncher. I'm pretty sure we'll do it again. We'll run it back again if he wants to.
I know this is boxing and a lot of things can happen. Where do you think we stand right now?
Well, he has 30 days to heal, Sonny. I'm not a fan of putting him back in there with Tyson Fury right away. I mean, this man had a busted eardrum. This man got beat down for the first time in his life. And it was a systematic beating he took in front of everybody and he lost his undefeated record. He needs to heal. He needs to go and really get himself together, go back to the drawing board. If they put him back with the trilogy clause or all these clauses, that would be what we call in the fight game cashing out. He's 34 years old now. If you say, okay, go ahead and take two fights before the rubber match, the third fight, he may get exposed again. So what do? You cash out. Because in the third fight, it's going to be a whole lot of money. Because, mind you, the rabbit shots at the back of the head played a whole big role in this fight. Because if you go look at the third round, it was after those shots landed that he was just never the same. He was on wobbly legs. Even the fifth round, when these things happened. So we can say all we want to say. He was a different fighter. He needs to see if he wants to do it again or he wants to go take two easy fights and get ready. Now, okay, Sonny, 30 days close now, okay? He got his ears stitched, you know, because of the blood coming out of his mouth and his nose. We're now in March. Are you going to tell me he's going to be ready to fight in June and go to camp and put his body through it again? No. It's got to be sometimes around September or end of the year. Personally, for me, Sonny, if Deontay Wilder is my fighter, what will I do? I'll let him rest till the beginning of 2021. Allow Tyson Fury to take on Anthony Joshua for all the marbles, Sonny. Undisputed heavyweight champion will emerge. First time since 1999 when Evander Holyfield fought Lennox Lewis. Allow that fight to happen. Right after that fight, they take on the winner, that will have given Deontay enough time to recoup and rest. But going for a rematch for the third time is a total cash out, and he will never be the same fighter again. And not only that, Sonny, the fight fans are not stupid. Fight fans want to see Anthony Joshua against Tyson Fury.
Namdi, Anthony Joshua recently posed with some of his fans in Nigeria and posted photos on Twitter of the warm reception he received. Dr. Rafiu Oladipo is the president of the Nigerian Boxing Board of Control. Iron Mike Mbonye asked him about the possibility of Nigeria hosting one of Joshua's fights.
Well, for me, as the president of the Nigerian Boxing Board of Control, if it happens, it's a good thing for Nigeria, because I believe that that fight is going to be an inspiration to other Nigerian boxers who are trying to become champions in their own categories. And if we can host it, not only will it boost the economy of Nigeria, it will also boost the image. And the earlier we start planning it, if it's going to happen, let it happen, because whatever boxing anybody wants to do pro-wise, you've got to carry along the Nigerian Boxing Board of Control.
The Nigerian Boxing Board of Control, as it is now, have you been intimated? Have you heard anything about it? About the proposed hosting of the Anthony Joshua fight?
Well, I've not been told. We take the promoter to talk to us, because the promoters arrange fights, and they ask us to approve the fight, to sanction it. And then, of course, when you come, my ring officials will be participants in the game, because we're the host.
In the past, Nigeria is known or noted for hosting international fights between Nigerians and world champions. What is the situation today? We've not been seeing such fights hosted in the country.
Well, we've not been seeing much of the fights, but now since I became the president, we've done three title fights, world title fights here in Nigeria. And these world title fights were WBO fight and WBA fights. And we just are discovering some young Nigerian boxers who, if we support properly, they will become champions. You do know that we have African champions, Commonwealth champions, IBF champions, and we have some of them who are doing the trade in America, in Canada, in the UK, as well as in Nigeria. So in no time, we start to see such fights in Nigeria.
What about Nigerian professional boxers based abroad who are doing very well? Are you in touch with them? Have you encouraged them to come back home and fight before Nigeria?
That's the job we are doing now. We're already in touch with many of them. For instance, AJ's fight in Cardiff, I was there. His fight at the Wembley in London, I was there. So some of our fighters, some of our boxers, like Ajagba, like Apoche, like Kundayo, Aziz, Mikel, all of them, we are already talking to them, we're in touch with them. And we hope that if they want to fight, they will not dump Nigeria's name. They will fight in the name of Nigeria. Look at AJ now, is our own, but he fights in the name of Britain. Even though the man goes to the ring with the Nigerian flag all the time, we don't want to lose our boxers to any other country again, so we're in touch with them.
That's Dr. Rafiu Oladipo, the president of the Nigerian Boxing Board of Control, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. The reigning European club football champion Liverpool is moving closer to the Premier League title after another victory on Monday. Joining us with details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Monday's match was a tough one for Liverpool. The Reds trailed 2-1 late in the second half. But thanks to two blunders by West Ham goalkeeper Lukas Fabianski and a pair of goals by Egypt's Mohamed Salah and Senegal's Sadio Mane, Liverpool was able to snag a come-from-behind 3-2 victory. And with the win, the Reds equaled Manchester City's top-flight record of 18 consecutive wins and set a Premier League record of 21 consecutive wins at home. Liverpool are the runaway leaders in the Premier League, and with 79 points, they have a very comfortable 22-point lead ahead of second-place Man City. And following Monday's win, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp had to admit this season is a special one.
A couple of years ago, three, four, maybe at the beginning, I said we want to write our own stories, we want to create our own history. Obviously, the boys took that really seriously, what I said there, and that's all cool, but just not too important in the moment. But it's so special, though. The numbers are incredible, so difficult. We sat here a couple of times, we spoke about wonderful games, brilliant games, we spoke about hard games, difficult games. Tonight was difficult, obviously. The number of wins you only can have if you win all these games, obviously, the difficult ones, the easy ones, if there ever was one, the brilliant ones, and the more, the rougher and or more grumpy ones. So that's how it is, and in the end, that's what counts. And we all know that it's very special. But in the moment, we are really just in the situation and want to recover and want to prepare the next one, because the next opponent is really waiting and wants to fight us, wants to, the whole stadium at Watford will go for us. It's completely normal. There will be a special atmosphere, and we have to be 100% ready. And that's, I saw the boys tonight, they are ready to fight. And how is that? As long as we are really ready to fight, nobody should worry, but we still have a lot of work to do.
Liverpool now need 12 points from 11 games to secure their first Premier League title in 30 years. You just heard Jurgen Klopp say his side is getting set for their upcoming away game at Watford. Klopp says his side is taking it one game at a time, but says securing those critical next points will be a challenge.
The next three are always the hardest. Was always like this. We never saw it differently. It would be strange if we now say these next 12 points are so difficult to achieve. They are difficult. You saw it tonight. So, look, I told already said to a colleague, if you would have lost tonight, everybody would say two in a row under pressure at Watford. We are still under pressure at Watford because they are just good. They are really good. I saw the game against United. They could have scored the first one. Troy Deeney probably. And then they had really good moments. They played here really well. They will fight for everything, because now, in this moment, everybody is fighting for everything. Could I have wished for a better position to go in these last 11 games? No. I would never thought it's possible. But each one of them is really difficult, and we respect that a lot. We don't expect one easy game. Nobody wants to go through easily. We just have to be ready for work and for hardest work, and we were that tonight as a unit together with the crowd again. I really love that fact, and I couldn't appreciate it more. It's really special.
Liverpool's match against Watford is set for Saturday. That day's opening match will see Crystal Palace at Brighton, followed by two matches, Southampton at West Ham and fourth place Chelsea at Bournemouth. Third place Leicester City is getting set for their Friday away game against Norwich City. And the match between second place Man City and Arsenal that was set for Sunday has been postponed. We will keep you updated on match results in the coming days, so stay tuned. And that is all from me for now. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, checks in again from Owerri, Nigeria, on my Facebook page. Magnus writes, "Congratulations to the Gypsy King! No one saw that victory coming by Tyson Fury. It was a big, shattering loss for Deontay Wilder, massively outclassed by Tyson Fury's approach and punches." And that wraps up the February 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
It's the weekend. Time to relax, kick back, and treat yourself to a fresh new episode of Music Time in Africa. And then I take you inside the music scene in Accra, Ghana. I chat with three of its top stars, Stoneboy, Samini, Lamisi, plus the popular radio presenter, Prince Benjamin.
Why? Is there music, love? What are we talking about?
I think it's love. She's being a little...
Love.
What else would it be?
Finally, we go to New Orleans, Louisiana, USA. Mardi Gras takes place February 25th, and we explore the city's iconic street brass band music of that annual festival. Don't miss it, peeps! This Sunday and the following Saturday at 1505 and 20500 UTC. Music Time in Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers using a variety of space and ground-based telescopes say they have spotted a very rare system of three monster black holes that are on the path to a spectacular collision and merger. The triple black hole system was discovered at the center of three galaxies that had merged with each other. This trinary system is said to be located about a billion light years away and are each separated by distances that range between 10,000 to 30,000 light years. Astronomers say they found evidence that the giant black holes are actively feeding on surrounding material. The system was first spotted by the ground-based Sloan Digital Sky Survey in New Mexico. NASA space telescopes such as WISE, Chandra, Hubble, and NuSTAR were also used to gather data on the triple black hole system. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
What's going on, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi coming to you from the Voice of America studios here in Washington, D.C. Join us each week on Upfront as we discuss a range of topics. The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
Eliminate the mentality that girls cannot do what boys can do.
You basically need to go to school. There's just no way you're going to get all the skills that people want from you or they expect from you if you're not at school.
I am
I'm a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.